Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vonta. If you're building a SaaS business, achieving compliance with SOC 2, ISO 27001, or other in-demand frameworks can unlock major growth for your company and establish customer trust. However, this process is often time-intensive and costly. Vonta automates your compliance work, getting you audit ready quickly and saving you up to 85% of associated costs. And Vonta scales with your business, helping you continuously monitor compliance, unify risk management, and streamline security reviews. Join 8,000 global companies like Synethia, Flow Health, and Alica Bank that use Vonta to build trust and prove security in real time. Our audience gets a special offer of $1,000 off Vonta at vonta.com/EU startups. That's vonta.com/EU startups.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My next guest is Diana Daveni. Diana is the head of Vento, the Italian chapter of Exor Ventures, and an organizer of Italian Tech Week, one of the coolest startup events in Europe, attracting speakers like Sam Altman. Diana, great to have you on the show. How are you today?
Very good, and thank you for the invite. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
It's awesome to have you. Diana, so let's dive right into it. You said you learned the hard way what you're not. What have you discovered you truly are through your career?
So I'm still learning. So I think I really don't know yet. Mm-hmm. But now I think I have a couple of ideas.
Yeah.
The first one is that I need to work on something that is really actionable. Mm-hmm. Meaning I can't just work on something that is super huge and you will never see the impact of what you're doing daily. And that shaped really my path. And I think it's one of the main reasons why I'm doing what I do today. Mm-hmm. Because when you're working with startup, in a short time frame, you can really see what you can achieve or what you can't. And that it's something that really motivates me. And I think the other thing that it's really kind of related is that I really need to work with people that I like. Mm-hmm. And I really need to be in a team. I thrive when I'm surrounded by the right people.
Yeah.
And I think for me, working in this ecosystem is really a privilege because every day I have the chance to meet incredible people and get inspired by them. Mm-hmm. And that what I think is really important in my life now. But I was saying at the beginning, I'm still learning. Yeah. And maybe I will change idea, and I'm open to that.
Amazing. Yeah, I love your take on, you know, at this point in your life, you really want to work with people that you truly admire. I have this like similar take, like I really want to love with people that I'm truly like best friends with, and I really love or are like immensely talented that I can learn from a lot. I know that.
And that's also why I never get bored, right? Because exactly. Even, I mean, if founders are calling me at 9 p.m., when I see them calling me, mm-hmm. I'm like, I really want to answer this because I know it's going to be a very interesting conversation, most of the cases.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound really healthy, though, I must say. For your team,
That's the dark side of it, because I think when you really love what you're doing, it's hard to detach and then do something else.
Yeah,
but also on that, I'm trying to improve and learn and do best.
Amazing. Diana, I know that your accidental love for math led to surprising success. How does that influence, you know, how you approach challenges today?
So, I mean, to give a bit of context
exactly,
to what you're asking me.
I know it already, yeah. So like, I assume like people will
get it. Yeah, that's fine. But the point is that in high school, I basically didn't study math at all. I mean, we were doing just a few hours a week.
Yeah.
That it's not much. So when I finished, I was convinced that I was not good at math. and I couldn't choose anything that was related to math or science or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then by mistake, I enrolled in a very scientific bachelor. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I had to do a lot of math exams. And of course, at the beginning was difficult and I struggled a lot. But then in the end, I discovered that I not only loved math, but I was very good at it.
Mm.
And from that experience, what I learned was that I have a lot of biases. And those biases are sometimes kind of limiting my choices and my path. So every time I feel inside of me a voice saying to me, you can't do this, this is not for you, or stuff like that, I try to push back and give myself a chance to try and see if that is really the case or not. Mm-hmm. And in many, many cases, that voice is just a stupid voice that comes from society and culture and everything that we grow up with, you know? And I think being also a woman in a very main world, that was very important to discover early on in my career.
I love it. So much wisdom coming from it. Diana, let's talk about Vento. How does Vento reflect your personal philosophy, also on risk-taking and innovation?
So, again, maybe I'll just give an overview about Vento to answer this question, because Vento is doing three activities, really. Uh-huh. The first one is invest in early-stage Italian founders based everywhere. The second one is a venture-building activity where we invest in people, pre-team, and pre-idea, so very early on. And the third one is Italian Tech Week. And those activities may seem very different, but the reality is that we always invest on people.
Mm-hmm.
When we do the venture building activity, it's very clear because we are selecting people before they have a team or an idea or anything. So we are giving them money just because we think they have the chances to be successful as founders. But also when we invest in companies, we invest very, very early on. In 40% of the cases so far, we invested when there was only a PowerPoint or an idea. Mm. So we really just invested in the team. So we are backing mainly the people. And again, Italian Tech Week, that is this event we are organizing every year, is a chance for us to bring the best people in the tech scene to our ecosystem to inspire our founders to dream big, and also to inspire all the people that are not considering entrepreneurship to try and do something different from what society pushes us to do, like, I don't know, career in investment banking or consulting or big tech companies, and just really try to empower them. So I would say that that's how we're trying to shape Vento, and it's always the common denominator of everything is people.
Beautiful. Diana, I know now how you're shaping, how you're trying to shape Vento. How do you see Vento shaping the future of Italy's venture capital scene?
Italy is very, very behind compared to other European countries. We are like 7 years behind France, 3 years behind Spain. Mm-hmm. So what we are really trying to do is to push the ecosystem to grow with the same trajectory of those ecosystems that are much more successful today. And so what we want to see in the next 3 to 5 years is the same amount of money invested in the country, the same amount of companies succeeding and reaching very, very large success. And also more people coming back and building their companies in Italy. And personally, I think it's very, very important because beyond the venture ecosystem, Italy is struggling as a country. We are losing all the talented people. And I think that this ecosystem, the tech ecosystem, could be really key mm-hmm. in the future of the country. And even if today is still small, the ecosystem already created 300,000 new jobs. And that's a lot mm-hmm. for our country. And I think we can really do more.
Awesome. I know you're based out of Turin, and I've been there just like a couple of weeks ago to meet you, and it was beautiful. It was my first time in Turin, and I really loved it. And it seems like it's on the rise in tech. What makes it, you know, a unique breeding ground for startups in Italy?
Of course, Vento. I'm kidding. No, I mean, I'm from Turin, so I feel like I'm not neutral on this answer. But in Turin, we have 100,000 students every year mm-hmm. between Polytechnic of Turin and University of Turin. So it's a place where there's a very high concentration of high-skilled talents. Mm-hmm. And but it's also a very nice city to live because the quality of life is very high. And so if you are an early stage startup, you can have a much longer runway if you are in Turin, and you can easily hire very talented people. And I think now there's a bit of concentration in terms of the tech scene. There are funds here, there are startups here. Mm-hmm. So I think density is kind of important. And also in specific field, there are a lot of expertise because it's mainly an industrial city. Mm-hmm. So very well known for the, you know, automotive industry, space industry. So also a lot of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, Diana. Italian Tech Week. Let's talk about Italian Tech Week. You know, it's known for big ideas. What's been, and it's just, it just took place like a couple of weeks ago. What has been the most mind-blowing conversation you've had there?
Of course, I mean, there were incredible keynotes from very, very important people in the tech scene. And I'm thinking about, you know, Doug Leone, mm-hmm. who said on stage, if you're choosing to be a founder, you can't have a plan B. That's the only thing you can do and won't do. That, of course, is very, I mean, it's something that is not new, but it's always so true. And I think was very inspiring for many people in the room. But I think the most interesting conversation I had personally was something that is much more related to your personal way to live what you're living in the moment, because there was someone who asked me, how are you during the event? And I was like, I'm good, I'm, you know, a bit stressed, but I'm good. And he was like, you should really enjoy what you're doing mm-hmm. because it's very important that you live in the moment and you fully enjoy what you're doing. And then I realized I was not doing that, you know, mm-hmm. I was just dashing through the event and trying to achieve all the goals, mm-hmm. but I was not enjoying the moment and really making the most out of every conversation and every meeting. Mm-hmm. And that changed a bit my attitude in those days. Maybe it could sound stupid, but it was very enlightening in that moment.
Yeah. Sounds great, Diala. So it wasn't me, it wasn't a conversation with me that I know already. but Diala, how do you actually, that's good that you started enjoying it. And like, basically, if you don't, you know, if you're not enjoying what you're doing in the moment, also you're not gonna do your best, right? You're not gonna, like you could probably, if you enjoy what you're doing, you're gonna be better, you know, perform better. The whole experience is going to be better for you to start with, but also if it's better for you, it's going to be better for people, and you're the main organizer. So that's very important that you enjoy it. And tell me, since we're talking about, like you started with Doug Leone, I know that Sam Altman was there as well. How do you attract this kind of speakers? How do you bring this kind of speakers to the event?
We are part of a very big group that is Exor, that is the investment company of the Agnelli family. So we are lucky to have very strong connections. And so that's the main source, I would say. But then, of course, in all those years, we were trying to establishing good relationship with the main player. Mm-hmm. And also, I think when you have a couple of very good names, then it's so much easy to invite other people, because if they see there's a very good fan like Sequoia on stage, then also all the others, they want to be on stage. So I think the key is to have a few very good names at the beginning, and then it's very easy to attract all the others.
Makes like it sounds so easy.
I mean, I know that it sounds very easy. It's not. But that is really the key. And also, sometimes you don't ask because you think they will never answer, or they will reject me or stuff like that. And then when you try, you discover that people are much more willing to help and support than you actually thought in the beginning, you know?
I think it, you know, it circulates because it starts with you, who is very much willing to help and support. And then, and you're like that because I know you already a bit. So I think it's also when you reach out to people, there's an energy, they can feel it, and they are more willing to support you back. Fiala, if you could bring back, maybe not back, but if you could bring one famous figure, can be from history or like dead or alive, let's say, to give the keynotes at Italian Tech Week, who would it be and what would they talk about?
From history, I would love to have on stage Mileva Maric, who was the wife of Einstein. And from what we know today, was a big part of the relativity theory. And I think that if she was recognized for her work back in the days, our lives would have been very different today, because what we really miss is role model, women role models. And so I think that would be amazing. And from people that we can invite today, I wish we could have Jensen Huang. I mean, I know it's a very easy answer. Yeah, but also I think NVIDIA is shaping really what we are doing today. They just released also an LLM, and they are not only going after hardware, they are also going after software, and they can be really, I mean, the key for our future. So I would love to have him on stage.
Yeah, that would be amazing. If you get him next year, please tell me. I'm gonna come again. But despite that, I'm totally coming again next year. It's like the event was great. I really loved it. I recommend everyone to go. So you've seen startups fail and succeed. What do you think founders often get wrong in Italian's startup scene?
So maybe because we are not a very mature ecosystem, a very common problem is that I think they don't fully understand the difference between a business and a venture business. So sometimes they are very, very talented people, but they work on something that is just not big enough to be a venture business. So what we're trying to do is to push them to be more ambitious and to start early on to think about the possible size of what they are building, because they should, I mean, put their effort and their energy in something that is worth the effort that you have to put in something like that. And so I think that's the main issue right now. But I think it will be fixed when we will have some big success stories, because then it will become very clear for everybody what's the right way to build.
Yeah, we all need role models and like big success stories to kind of Diana, what are the underrated, I ask you what those founders often get wrong, but what are the underrated strengths of the Italian startup ecosystem that the world needs to know about?
That's a tough question. I think, of course, we have a very high quality of talents, mm-hmm. Specifically in a few industries such as healthcare or deep tech. There are some really pocket of excellence in Italy, and that's one. And the other one, it's kind of funny, but I think what it's peculiar of Italians and is that we are really a community, so we really help each other a lot. Mm-hmm. But also, if I think about myself and my job, there are Italians everywhere in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So there is an Italian working in a VC everywhere. Mm-hmm. So every time I need to get access to a specific VC, I look for the people working in the team. And if I find an Italian, yeah. there's a 90% right. Chance that he or she is going to answer me and is going to help me. Mm-hmm. And I think it might seem stupid, but this is an incredible moat, mm-hmm. because we can arrive basically anywhere. And I think in general, we are very resourceful. Mm-hmm. And if we want to achieve something, we achieve and no matter what.
Love it. Diana, I love your strategy. And, you know, generally your approach and Ben's approach is super people first. And just what you just said, it confirms that. How do you actually balance personnel relationships with business growth? If they need to be balanced, maybe they can't not go one without another.
I think I'm not a good example of this because I have a lot of personal relationship also in business. But I think also this is the strength mm-hmm. of Vento, because what we do is possible because there are many, many people helping us. The team is made of only 8 people in total doing investment, mm-hmm. venture building and the event. Mm-hmm. And 3 of them are interns, so a very, very small team. Yeah. The reason why we do what we do is because we are surrounded by so many people who are willing to support us just because they believe in what we are doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that is only possible if you have a personal and real relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not possible if it's only a commercial kind of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not the best thing for my mental health, uh-huh. but for sure is the best thing for what we want to achieve. And I feel very happy to be surrounded by all those incredible people.
I love it, Diana. So, you know, getting back to founders, and you already mentioned personal relationships and network across the globe. What would you tell a founder in Italy who is considering taking their startup global?
First of all, I would tell them that this is a very good way to start, mm-hmm. Because, I mean, having a global ambition is very important early on. Of course, if you are Italian, I think it's easier to start with Europe. Mm-hmm. And even Europe, it's not easy because every country is very different, mm-hmm. in terms of regulations, yeah. in terms of culture, in terms of language. So I would say try to address Europe first and try to address similar countries in Europe, yeah. because, for instance, south of Europe, it's very different from north of Europe. And then when you are successful with that, you can do the next step and maybe move to US. Mm-hmm. Also, because I think if you are successful in Europe with all those differences, mm-hmm. then it will be much easier to go to US.
I agree. And I agree that Europe is tough and it's not making it easier for founders to succeed.
So not at all.
A lot of them, maybe not a lot of them, but kind of a lot of them run away to the US. Yeah, I hope that that will change and the, you know, regulations will change a bit and we will have at least like one legal entity across Europe that is like kind of universal, and that's gonna make it easier for founders as well. Diana, you've dabbled in so many fields. What's one skill or passion that you still secretly want to pursue?
Can I answer with something very distant from what I'm doing today?
Tell us what you're doing today.
No, I mean, because when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. I really wanted to have an impact, you know, right. Is what everyone is saying at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I was really into politics, for instance.
Yeah.
So then I think I understood, maybe I'm wrong, that actually you can have much more impact working in the private sector rather than in the public sector. Huh. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's my view now. But maybe later on in my career, I would like to go back to that and maybe also work for the public sector and try to, implement everything that I've learned through my experience for the public service.
Yeah, and make it easy, like exactly, change the regulations. So are you saying that you're running for president of Italy?
No, not at all. But I think, I mean, in the end, to succeed both in Italy but also in Europe, we need to change things also 100%. In terms of regulation. So I feel like all the talented people just run away because they feel like it's tough and it's difficult and it's not rewarding, at least in Italy. Mm-hmm. But in the end, if all the good people are running away of it, it's not going to change, right? So
100%. Diana, do you have any exciting new projects or initiatives either within Vento or outside of it that you would like to share with the audience?
Not yet. At the moment, we are working for the next batch of our venture building program. So interviewing
what's next
people.
For you?
Now we are very focused on the next batch of the venture building program because we are selecting the 40 participants for next year. Mm-hmm. So we are interviewing 250 people in 3-4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that is always very interesting. And then, of course, we are thinking about the next edition of Italian Tech Week, but now we are more in the feedback phase. So we are collecting feedback from everybody, giving feedback and, you know, thinking a bit broadly about the event. And we are keeping our investment activity. So we have now 81 portfolio companies. Mm-hmm. So trying to invest in more of them and also helping out our founders to do whatever they need to do. And that's it for the moment. I don't have any secret new plan also because my team would kill me.
Sounds good, Diana. Yeah, good luck with that. I'm sure it's gonna be awesome. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It's been so lovely to have you on the show. I really loved it. I think people will love it too. Thank you.
Thank you.